Live from New York, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null, broadcasting and video streaming live from our studios in New York City. And I welcome you. Today, we're going to look at the latest in health and healing, including new information on how important is that fiber in your diet, much more than just help keeping you regular. It could actually be extending your life. I'll give you the latest on that from the Westmead Institute for Medical Research. Then seaweed. Most people don't consume it. Understandably, if you're not used to its taste, it can sometimes taste a little salty. It depends upon the type of seaweed you eat. It can have like a gelatinous mouthfeel. So most people don't use it a lot. We should. There's lots of good seaweed. You can get good seaweed from Maine, where it's harvested. They're also growing it up the entire Atlantic coast and on the Pacific coast. And this is safe. This does not have radiation in it. But why should you be using seaweed? Because according to Mount Sinai Hospital, it can be helping you fight allergies. It also helps rebalance your thyroid gland. It helps give you energy. It's a great detoxifier. It's rich in calcium. It has more calcium and magnesium than cow's milk by dry weight. Then from aging in harmony, what do I mean? I mean that the third act of our lives could be musical. I'll explain. And then explain why I have that beautiful Steinway grand piano made, by the way, and I didn't know how important it was till a recent event that I had. There was a famous conductor there, and he said, I had the same piano. And then he gave me the whole history. But what we should be playing, even if we've never played an instrument in our lives, and how that helps us live a longer life. Are you familiar with Prunus mummy? Probably not. Prunus, P-R-U-N-U-S, is an Asian plum. Now, plums are very nutritious, but this plum is even better than others because it benefits liver function over placebo. From the University of Maine, a study that chocolate is good for your brain. And sweet cherries, I mentioned yesterday, the Montmorency cherry is good at alleviating pain, increasing endurance and exercise, flushing out lactic acid so you don't get the muscle burn. Well, sweet cherries are rich in anthocyanins, and that supports liver health, and that's important. And that's from Jiang University in China, and more on health. Then today I want to talk about just one ingredient you probably didn't even know was in vaccines. It's called fennel, P-H-E-N-O-L. Now, fennel's in a lot of ingredients. None of them would you ever consume. Why? Because if you did, you could get very sick. So if you're not allowed to get it near your eyes or your mouth, if it gets on your body, you're supposed to wash it off. Why is it okay when it goes directly into our bloodstream? I'll talk about that. And also, our theme of the day is the amount of influence the media that you are connected to has upon your life. This will be for our talkback segment a little later in the program, but I'll share it with you right up front. And that is, we only have about 6 corporations that control most 90% of the information that you are made aware of in a given 24-hour cycle. We're spending 10 hours a day being programmed because of this. So here's my talk back question before we get to health and nutrition. Knowing that we are all susceptible to the input of information, then shouldn't we be more critical of the objectivity, the accuracy, the significance of what we're exposing ourselves to. As someone who is a voracious reader, I also make sure that what I'm reading, the sources of that information, are qualified sources. When people ask me, how do you select the articles that are put on the Progressive Radio Network website, hundreds per day, 7 days a week, and where millions of people per week visit, and you're talking about several hundred million visits a year, that's a lot of people. We don't put just anything up. You rarely will ever find anything that the mainstream media has touched because it's so biased. Even much of the information on the internet in and of itself is inaccurate. And there's a lot of people on the internet, these trolls, who intentionally will put stories up that seem interesting, but if you post them, repost them, that make you look foolish. And then people question your objectivity when you're not doing your homework. So just remember, what you watch, what you read, who you listen to, becomes an extension of your values and beliefs. Why do I say that? Because let's say that you watch something on television, or you watch something over the internet, or you read something. In your conversations throughout the day, you're likely to be having a discussion on whatever is the important topic of the day. Well, what if it's wrong to begin with? For example, we're told that, you know, that Bernie Sanders should drop out of the race for president. He has no chance of winning because he doesn't have the superdelegates. That Hillary Clinton's got it wrapped up. That is correct. However, if you looked at Jill Stein, that has about 5% of the vote with the Green Party, they're doing a good job out there, even with as many biases and stop signs as they are given. They still have gotten their message to the progressive people. How many people are progressive? Well, you've got about 22% who are Republican and conservative. You've got about 20% that are liberal and Democrat. But you have 41% who are independent. And that's what can make a difference. In the independents is where you have probably 95% of your true progressives. They would not vote for Hillary or Donald Trump, but they may vote for Bernie Sanders if there was no other option. But then again, Bernie is absolutely identical to Hillary of supporting so many tyrannical regimes in the Middle East and things that really matter in our foreign policies, whereas Jill Stein wouldn't. She would not support those things, and almost all the things she would support we would agree upon. So what if she joined forces with Bernie Sanders? That would make sense. If Bernie became an independent, based upon popular vote alone, he would beat Hillary Clinton, he would beat Donald Trump, as it stands right now. Now, that would throw everything into a problematic area, because our whole system is rigged. So imagine the conversations you have that exclude Jill Stein because you're not aware of her, because the media you were contacting didn't have anything on. And let's say that you, like most Americans, you get vaccinated and you don't ask a question. You don't ask, are they safe or effective? You're assuming your doctor, pharmacist, or nurse would never give you anything that wasn't. That's because of the information you read or the propagandized material that you're fed. But if you are a person that reads the articles that Richard Gale and I have posted, over 40, my next will be within the next 5 days, on the efficacy of vaccines, you would never put a vaccine in your body because you know that you want to be naturally immunized. You want chickenpox. You want the measles. Then you're protected for life. More people died from the vaccine than the actual condition, like chickenpox. So that's why the understanding the context of this. Now, here's some information. Watching live television 4 hours and 32 minutes. This is for the average one, provided by Mike Snyder of Global Research. Watching time-shifted television, I mean pre-records, 30 minutes. Listening to the radio, 2 hours and 44 minutes. But by the way, that's not actually accurate, because if you're older and you listen to radio, you're likely to have it on all day. So just imagine how all day you'd be propagandized if you heard every single host who shares a common view of a particular issue. For example, they don't believe in socialism. Okay. But every guest they have on, every informational piece they share, is denigrating socialism and talking about the power of the free market. Let the free market help and handle and solve problems. If you listen to, for example, the Progressive Radio Network, you would hear people who would say, okay, are they against socialism with the fire department, with the police department? If you were being mugged or raped or beaten and you didn't have a particular private police protection, the police could stand there and watch you being attacked but couldn't help because you didn't sign up to their program. Your house could be burned to the ground, but it's not covered under that particular privatized fire department. You would think, well, that's absurd. Yes, it is. And our Coast Guard, that's socialized. Our libraries, socialized. Public hospitals, socialized. A lot of the things we do are socialism. Our armed forces, the Army, Navy, Air Force, Marines, the Coast Guard, those are all socialism. But they're socialism to protect us, to help us, if we have control over. But are they against socialism for major corporations? Because all major corporations try to get the public to protect them and pay for them. All the banks were bailed out by the public. Under free market, they should have all accepted. They made bad decisions and go bankrupt, take their losses. None of them did. And again, all the tax credits that the oil industry gets, the gas fracking industry gets, the nuclear industry gets. Think of the protection nuclear industry gets. If there's a nuclear accident at Three Mile Island or at the one in Pennsylvania, the one right here in New York, you're only susceptible to, I think it's $60 million in damages. Well, if there is a major catastrophe, you're talking about hundreds of billions of dollars we, the people, would have to pay for it. So where are their hosts challenging that on their networks? They're not. That's why it's so important, this issue. Who are the corporations? Well, the corporations are Comcast. They own NBC, Telemundo, Universal Pictures, Focus Features, USA Network, Bravo, CNBC, The Weather Channel, MSNBC, Sci-Fi Channel, The Golf Channel, Esquire, AE, Chiller, Universal. And what about the Walt Disney Company? Well, they own ABC Television, ESPN, the Disney Channel, A&E, Lifetime, Marvel Entertainment, Lucasfilms. So one way or the other, you're coming into contact with Walt Disney Company and the people behind it, the shareholders who own it. News Corporation, that's Fox, Fox News, Fox Business Channel, Fox Sports, National Geographic, National Geographic Wild, FX, the movie channels, Sports Network, Wall Street Journal, The New York Post, Barron's, Smart Money, Harper's. So think of all the people who have a book that supports the free enterprise system. You're not going to go to Seven Story Press, where I publish my books, which is a small progressive publisher. You're going to go to Harper's. You get the big bucks, you get the national tour, but your ideology for what you're writing about has to match that of the company, its directors, its founder. That's how it works. Time Warner, CNN, HBO, Cinemax, HLN, and classic music, all that. Then Viacom, there's your MTV and Comedy Central. So do you think that Comedy Central is going to have people on that go against the ideology of the major power? No, they're not. CBS, CBS Sports, Showtime, Simon & Schuster, Infinity Broadcasting, Westwood and Radio One. So what's the likelihood that someone like myself, who has an enormous audience, the largest audience in the history of non-commercial radio, as an individual program, and on Pacifica, holding every record in the history of the network, 65-year network plus, and we hold all the records. most audience per station, up to 50%, most funds raised, most awards won. So would I be able to go over to Infinity and get on? Not a chance in hell. Could I get a book published even though I've sold more best-selling books than anyone I know? No. Not a chance, because of my ideology. See? Now you start to see why this is important. So you look at these six corporations, think, wow, six corporations control the media. We then are absorbing all of our reality from them. And then we wonder why people are going to go out and vote for either Trump or Clinton or Sanders. And they're going to read the same newspapers and believe it. They'll believe that the United States had nothing to do with coups in Honduras, that we didn't have anything to do with illegally shipping arms from Gaddafi's storehouse to Libya, which caused the to Syria, that we've caused regime change in 65 countries. We have assassination teams. How would you know any of that? How would you know any of the things we talk about? You wouldn't, unless you were tuned in to the right sources. So our talkback question is this. How much power do you believe that the media, any of the media, has had over your values, your beliefs, your actions, from what you do if you can't sleep at night to if you have an upset stomach? What approach do you take to if you need to get a tooth pulled or mercury put in a tooth? If you have to have a virus attacked in your body? Are you going to take a holistic approach, or are you going to take the approach they're going to give you? What kind of food are you going to eat? Beverages you're going to drink? What kind of school are you going to go to? You're going to take out a loan? See, everything we do is influenced by the input. Our output is directly related to our input. How has it impacted you? What changes have you made? How do you see all this today? 888-874-4888. 888-874-4888. That's our number. That's our talkback. In about a half hour, go to those calls. Now, when it comes to fiber, this is what the Westmead Institute for Medical Research is sharing with us. And this was published in the Journals of Gerontology. Most people know that diet high in fiber helps keep them regular. All right, we accept that, and that's correct. Now, Australian researchers have uncovered a surprising benefit of fiber. What they're finding is that the fiber that we get from our cereal grains and breads, fruits and vegetables, can help us avoid disease and disability into old age. Using data compiled from the Blue Mountains Eye Study, the benchmark population-based study that examined a cohort of more than 1,600 people, they found risk factors. Lots of risk factors, sensory loss, risk factors, systemic diseases, were substantially improved with fiber. They found that out of all the factors they examined, which included a person's total carbohydrate intake, total fiber intake, glycemic index, meaning how much does your blood sugar go up based upon what you're consuming, the glycemic load, total sugar intake, it was the fiber. Fiber made the biggest difference in what researchers called the successful aging. Quote, successful aging was defined as including an absence of disability, depressive symptoms, cognitive impairment, respiratory symptoms, and chronic disease, including cancer, coronary artery disease, and stroke. According to the lead author of the paper, Professor Gopinath from the Institute's center, the study is the first to look at the relationship between carbohydrate intake and healthy aging, and the results were significant enough to warrant further investigation. And they talk about how quality fiber in your diet can help prevent major diseases. And also, I might add, that it can also help lower your cholesterol, lower your blood pressure, lower the bad HDLs, and help sweep a lot of the carcinogens in your intestine, colon, out of the body. So, all those fruits and vegetables you've been consuming, you're on the right side. That equation. Also, this is about aging in harmony. And here's what it says. This is from Medical Express. It says, quote, We normally hear about reasons to increase music education for children, and for good cause. There are many cognitive and social benefits to playing an instrument that aid a child's development. Consequently, as an older adult, there are long-term effects of having taken part in these musical activities, as it can limit cognitive decline. Even a small amount of training can have long-lasting benefits. But it doesn't mean that those who have never played an instrument in childhood have missed the boat. The aging brain, isoplastic, that's what's called the aging brain, it's very plastic, means it's able to learn new things all the time. So should we consider an increase in music programs? The answer is yes. Now, a lot of people are afraid to think about the end of life. Understandably so. It's scary. We don't know what happens if we're the average person. We hope or believe, you know, that something good might happen if we lived a good life, but we're not sure. We see too many people are lonely, especially in our society, because the whole emphasis is upon youth, and you really die twice. Your second death's relatively easy. The first death is the most painful, when we are no longer relevant. Whether we're relevant in our work, in the workplace, or friends, or family, and all the time and energy and responsibilities that we help younger people with. And one day, when you may need a helping hand and you don't see so many people holding out a hand to help. And also we start to see our body change, our brain starts to forget things, our skin begins to age, and that scares us. Because if you're the average person, you're going to take an average approach. You're not going to do anything. It's too radical because part of your conditioning is moderation in all things. Don't go radical. Don't do too much. Don't be too extreme. And that's how probably 95% of all people think. And why do I know this? Because I've done more health support groups than any human being I know on the planet, where I've taken individuals, as I have one coming up in 2 weeks, starting Saturday, in 2 weeks. And I work with them, but they must do it 100%. Anyone who's a slacker, don't come. Anyone who thinks that, oh, I'm just going to go to learn a few things, don't bother. Because I can only help people give 100%. But when they give 100%, I see all kinds of changes. They see changes. And then hopefully that motivates them to realize they should stay. They should stay making complete commitments and honoring those commitments. It does no good to smoke a cigarette and take a vitamin C, to drink alcohol and take a B-complex, to go out and have a bunch of French fries and hamburger, hot dog, and then have a salad later. That's a game. And in the end, you will lose. And you will lose painfully. Heart attack, stroke, cancer, obesity, depression, it's always going to be there. You just don't know when and how it's going to manifest. But it needn't be there. But you got to do it all. But the trouble is the media and the experts tell us not to do it all, because when was the last time you saw anyone that represented a happy, healthy, positive, constructive personality? Name me the person. Show me. Deepak, forget about that. No. So we get bits and pieces of reality, and we fit them into the bits and pieces of the clutter of our lives. And we wonder why this puzzle of life that we're looking at never seems to look real. It always seems incomplete or distorted because our information input was distorted, because the values we took on frequently, not all, but they can be some constructive, some destructive. We'll see how duality works when you've got constructive and destructive. It doesn't work. For every good step you make, you're being brought back two steps. So we end up, let's say, over the age of 40, because at 40 beyond, you're in the third stage of life, which is your final stage. And that's where you either get it together, or every one of your constraints becomes the picture of your future. And it isn't pretty. Everything gets worse. Unless you want to make major changes, then it gets better. In fact, it can even be better in the other two parts of your life. So that's what this study is suggesting. So I'm saying that from 40 on, you're in the last stage of your life. So that's why you should really make an interest in taking on, let's say, a musical instrument. Why? Because the brain Well, take this complex task and coordinate it with multiple sensory systems, and many instruments require precise coordination between the eyes, the ears, the hands in order to play a musical note, and you'll be able to grow. You'll have better auditory capacity, and you'll be harmonizing the brain with what you're doing, and you'll find joy in it. So that's what this study showed, and that's what all of us who play instruments or have learned a new instrument later in life have found. Music is good for our health and our well-being. Every single study shows learning to play music improves your cognition. And it's also a great way for social bonding and decreasing feelings of loneliness and isolation. So that's my suggestion. Now, prunus, Asian plum. What they found in this study was that it's so rich in antioxidants, anti-inflammatories, that it actually protects the liver. And this was a study on how this plum, which you can find extracts of. Let me spell it for you. P-R-U-N-U-S. Second word, M-U-M-E, or Asian plum. So think of all the people who have toxic livers. Those of you who've drank alcohol, even if you stopped years ago, damage is still there. So you'll want to use this. People with sclerosis, the liver, people with hepatitis, people with fatty liver, you'll all benefit from it. Also, they're finding that hormone causes decline in cognitive awareness. This is from the Max Planck Institute of Psychiatry. Quote, how does stress influence our cognitive performance? And then they go on to talk about the prefrontal cortex is a brain region responsible for mental activity, perception, and recognition. In short, cognition. No matter whether we want to respond flexibly to certain situations, have to do with several things simultaneously, or make plans for the future, none of this would be possible without our prefrontal cortex. However, this process is very susceptible to stress. Our anger resulting from being stuck in a traffic jam in the morning or trouble with a boss at lunchtime causes social stress. The so-called corticotropin releasing factor, CRF, controls our reaction in the prefrontal cortex. However, which extract role it plays is not previously clear. So here's what it comes down to. Every time you get stressed for any reason and you act out, mainly through anger, you are adversely affecting hormones, including cortisol, that are going to negatively impact this prefrontal cortex region. That, in turn, can alter your cognition, meaning it can damage your memory, your ability to respond reasonably, your ability to think through things. All can be adversely affected. One more reason why your anger, no matter how self-righteous or justified you feel it is, it's a double-edged sword. To be outraged by something and then do something immediately that's constructive, that's good. To be outraged and then become rageful or angry, you're hurting yourself. You're creating a compound negative. The situation that made you angry is negative, and now your response is negative to your own body. So every one of you people who want to yell or raise your voice or send toxic text messages or phone messages, you're aging your brain. And one day, you're not going to have it. Finally, University of Maine study shows why chocolate is so good. Dr. Merrill Elias says that eating chocolate is going to boost the IQ, possibly, but it's also really good for the brain because it turns off inflammation. And because of all the natural healing components in chocolate, you're going to perform better, better cognition factors. Quote, what we found out is that people who ate chocolate performed better on cognitive functions than people who did not. They studied 1,000 people over 35 in this study. They had better visual spatial memory, better organization, better working memory, better abstract verbal reasoning, better scanning and tracking, and overall cognitive functioning. So that's good. Once again, chocolate comes to the rescue. I would suggest 2 ounces a day and get a healthy chocolate. And from our public health segment today, this is from Reshma Parpi from Vaccine Reaction. This is about fennel that I told you at the top of the show. Fennel, P-H-E-N-O-L. It's chemically known as carbolic acid. It's a white, volatile, crystal solid. And it's used in a lot of products. And chemical companies manufacture fennel on a large scale for petroleum and sell it commercially as a thick liquid. 3 billion pounds a year of fennel is produced annually in the United States. But then here's what it says about its safety. It's added as a disinfectant in over-the-counter products like lotions and ointments. But the U.S. Center for Disease Control and Prevention, the CDC, lists 5 licensed vaccines that contain fennel. And these are routinely given to infants and children. The Hib and the Hib hepatitis B, plus the pneumococcal and smallpox and typhoid. And according to the Institute of Vaccine Safety at the Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health, fennel is used as an antibacterial preservative in these vaccines, and it's been approved as safe. But saccharin was proved as safe, and cyclamates were proved as safe. They weren't. There's a lot of things that are not safe that had to be withdrawn from the market. Quote, this is from the materials and safety data sheet of ScienceLab.com. The amount of tissue damage depends upon length of contact. Eye contact can result in corneal damage or blindness. Skin contact can produce inflammation and blistering. Inhalation of dust will produce irritation to gastrointestinal and respiratory tract characterized by burning, sneezing, and coughing. Severe overexposure can produce lung damage, choking, unconsciousness, or death. The substance may be toxic to the kidneys, liver, central nervous system. Repeated or prolonged exposure to the substance can produce target organ damage. Repeated exposure to highly toxic material may produce general deterioration of health by an accumulation in one or many human organs, end quote. So here's my question. Show me a study that something like mercury or aluminum or formaldehyde and now fennel, that if you were to put in a teaspoon and start to drink it, every single doctor, nurse, pharmacist, public health official would say, don't do that. That's very harmful. It's either neurotoxic, will kill neurons, or central nervous system toxic, or cardiac toxic, hepatic toxic. So now you take something that no human being would ever be allowed to take by mouth, that has thousands upon thousands of peer-reviewed journals on toxicity, and you put that same ingredient, 25 milligrams, micrograms, into a vaccine, and you inject it into a non-formed immune system of a baby, and you give them a dozen vaccines in the first year of life. Show me the study that proves that will do no damage to that child. You've already said if you put it on the child's skin, it will cause damage. Well, now there is no protection at all. It's in the bloodstream. It's going to every cell in the body. That's how absolutely foolish the pro-vaccine believers, doctors are. I'm Gary Nall. We're going to take a break and come back in a moment. Please stay with us.
Somebody return. It's the only thing that my heart desires. Just appreciate the little things I do. Oh, you're the one who's got me inspired. Keep on lifting, lifting me higher. So good, good.
I'd like to welcome all the listeners from all over the world. I'm going to be going to our talkback segment in about 15 minutes. So please call in with your information and your views, your feelings, your thoughts about the power of different media to influence people's perceptions, their values, their belief. And has that happened to you? Have you been able to alter, change, and how has that affected you or your choices? We'd like to hear from you. 888-874-4888. And you can watch our program by going to Ustream channel and searching for Gary Nall. Before we go to our challenge to Condoleezza Rice, I want to share our special of the day, which I think you'll find very good. These are my own original creations. No one else works on them. I do, because I'm able to use my background as a scientist, as a registered licensed dietitian, as a clinical nutritionist, to know what people's body would benefit from. And I've got two products you're going to get and something you've not heard before. The first is a women's stuff. It's created for the unique need of women. What do I put in here? In very high amounts, 10 to 1, Dong Quai, the most commonly used herb in the world that I'm aware of for women. In fact, if you were to travel to China, Asia, anywhere in Asia, India, and you mentioned a whole series of issues involving women, Dong Quai is what they're going to say. American women don't use Dong Quai. They've never heard of it. They don't know what it does. Just Google and look for the scientific research on Dong Quai, D-O-N-G-Q-U-A-I. Then maca root, M-A-C-A. That is a legendary root in South America for men and women. Nettle root extract, wild yam extract, ashwagandha extract, flax seed, soy isoflavon, sweet potato, blueberries, kale. There's your chocolate, cacao, broccoli, apple, banana, and oat bran, and with wonderful chocolate flavor. And I wanted people to get a lot of chocolate into their system in a healthy way. And this is vegan, and this is kosher, and this is it. Women's stuff. Comes in delicious powder, absolutely delicious, but it also, the powder is ensuring that you're getting your polyphenols and your nutrients from your chocolate. And it only has 95 calories. It has 18 grams of fiber in a single serving. 18! Ask the average American how much fiber they get a day. In the entire day, I'm guessing 5 grams. You're getting 18 grams of high-quality fiber in one. But more importantly, you're getting all of the most important things that I believed would help a woman, all women, from, let's say, 25 on. And the older, especially over 40, the more you need women's stuff. So that's one. And that's on sale, and you're going to get a great price. I'll tell you that in a moment. And the second product, either or, you can buy one or the other, or get them both, is men's stuff. It's vegan, it's kosher, and again, it's got 18 grams of fiber, even got protein in here, only 97 calories. It's great for diabetics. You're getting Muara Puama extract, and you're getting this at 4-to-1 ratio. When men come to me and they want to know about certain problems, and is there anything natural that would help them, first thing I mentioned is Muara, M-U-I-R-A, Puama. Then tribulus, 8-to-1 ratio, tribulus, and that ratio is important. Then Shisandra extract, and maca root, and ginkgo extract, and longjack, 100-to-1. And you've never heard of longjack. Well, I have, and I know what it does. Nettle root, yohimbe, ashwagandha. And if you were in Italy, or the Mediterranean, and you ask men there about what many men need after, let's say, the age of 30, they just smile at you and say, horny goat weed. Well, I got horny goat weed, 8-to-1 extract in here. And your Luthococcus senecosis, 10-to-1. Panax ginseng, apple, GMO-free soy, lecithin, banana, chocolate, oat beta-glucan, and Damiana leaves. And sweet stevia, you simply don't get better. Men, if there's one single thing that you could put into your body that I believe would make the best difference for you, it's men's stuff. It's created for the unique needs of men. So there we have it, women's stuff and men's stuff. And mind you, I have not made any claims, but you're smart, and I don't have to. It's the best of the best, vegan and kosher, available now. They're normally $113. They're yours both, either one, you get for $73.45 for the women's stuff or for the men's stuff. And also today, you get the following as a gift. You're getting, if you're looking, this is the jacket of my new self-empowerment video, my first in a year and a half. It's called The Journey to Health and Happiness. This is also, I'm giving a lecture for a group in here about the journey to health and happiness. And Locke Kelly, Dr. Henry Grayson, Rabbi Michael Lerner, Professor Bruce Lipton, Dr. Mark Nepo, Dr. Judith Orloff, Dr. Robert Thurman, Dr. Brenda Shoshona. These are some of the finest minds, philosophers, ethicists on the planet. This is an empowering document because I only want to do ones that are original, that allow us to evolve, to take us to another step in our self-improvement as human beings. And if you buy either of these, it's free. Now, mind you, if you buy both, it's only one DVD per purchase, not one per product. So if you bought men's stuff and women's stuff, you get one. You don't get two. If you bought, 20 men's stuff, you get one. This is just my gift today to you. This is going to be premiering on a PBS station in the very near future, the next couple weeks. In fact, I was already supposed to it this weekend, but I have a schedule that is packed, so I couldn't go to the PBS station to do this one. It's called The Journey to Health and Happiness. Now, you want to see some of it? Go to ProgressiveRadioNetwork.com, and I've got a five-minute trailer, coming attraction. You can see it, so you get an idea of it. Some, a whole lot of original, new, empowering thoughts. And it's yours free when you call and order men's stuff, women's stuff, or both. And you're getting a huge discount on these products. Plus, you're getting this, so you add that all together, you're getting, what is it, about an, if you got both products, you're getting almost a $90-some discount. In either case, it's terrific. Call 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. Now, let's go to a clip of Condoleezza Rice talking about being honest, telling us the truth, or making up something, and then we believing it depending upon how we've been conditioned to believe everyone who's on the right or everyone on the left without asking, are they telling us the truth?
Wexler's questioning Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, and he's actually downplaying it. He's saying she selected things that supported her belief.
There were contrary reports. You chose to weigh the reports.
Congressman,
supported your
Congressman,
belief.
No, Congressman, I chose to use, Congressman, I chose to use, Congressman, I'm sorry, I'm going to answer this. Congressman, I chose to use what every administration uses, which is the collective wisdom of the intelligence community that is in a national intelligence estimate.
Rice went on CNN in September of 2002 claiming that the aluminum tubes were only really suited for a nuclear weapons program. She lied.
But Dr. Rice's statements in 2002 were not only wrong, they also did not accurately reflect the intelligence reports of the time. Declassified portions of the CIA's National Intelligence Estimate from October 2002 make it abundantly clear that there were disagreements among our intelligence analysts about the state of Iraq's nuclear program. But Dr. Rice seriously misrepresented their disputes when she categorically stated, "We do know that Saddam is actively pursuing a nuclear weapon." Her allegation also misrepresented to the American people the controversy in those same intelligence reports about the aluminum tubes. Again, Dr. Rice said that these tubes were really only suited for nuclear weapons programs. But intelligence experts at the State Department and the Department of Energy believed that those tubes had nothing to do with building a nuclear weapon, and they made their dissent known in the October 2002 National Intelligence Estimate.
The New York Times interviewed four CIA officials and two former administration officials who said that almost a year before her appearance on CNN, Rice's staff had been told that there were serious doubts that the tubes were for nuclear weapons. The experts at the Energy Department believed that the tubes were likely intended for small artillery rockets. It's claimed by administration officials she only learned about the alternative rocket theory soon afterwards. Even if that's true, she never went back onto CNN to correct the record. She was selling a war.
Let's just give a little glimpse into the way that people in power say in a convincing and dynamic way that they need to guide us in a particular policy. In this case, to get us into a war with Iraq, and look at the consequences. Think of the people who were part of this. Richard Pearl and Condoleezza Rice, Rumsfeld, Bush, Cheney, and at least 1,000 other people in that circle, the neocon circle in Washington, all said the same thing. But they were all lying. And we know they're lying because on this program, we did a whole series of reports showing that their source, their quality information from Chalabi, a convicted criminal that they took all around Washington, D.C., introducing him as the new head of the Iraqi liberation movement, Chalabi was a criminal. He had stolen $100 million from a bank and was found guilty in absentia in Jordan. That was their source. That was the person who was going to head this new coalition to go into Iraq. He'd be their person on the ground. Their informant was found to be completely discredited and had no validity whatsoever. The people like Ray McGovern, who had been in the intelligence community with the CIA for over 27 years, they all knew this. And yet Cheney's office had a separate, secret cabal of conspirators who were manufacturing intelligence so they could convince the American media and convince the public that this was legitimate. As a result, Fox and all the rest jumped on board. They all banged the drums for war. Now, afterwards, when we saw that this was all lies and we invaded a sovereign country, keep in mind, if you took a look at the way people lived in under Saddam Hussein, who was a brutal dictator. No one is arguing that. But he also had more women working in professions, educated people working, having gainful healthcare system where people could actually get anything treated for free in any of the hospitals. All that was gone. Over 4 million people were made refugees in their own country. Over 1 million people died. And this is after 500,000 children had already died because of Clinton's sanctions. Have you heard any of the people who are responsible go forward and public apologize because of what this did to the people in Iraq? And now what has happened is ISIS and al-Nusra and these other terrorist organizations have manifested because of their actions. No. And have you seen the media constantly protect them? Yes. So that's why I'm saying listening to any politician today come forth about what we should be doing on any of these major policies, look at their background. Why would you trust any of these people? They have all been complicit in crimes against humanity. None of them are honest about anything. Let's say hello to Howard from Forest Hills. Hi, Howard. Your thoughts on our talkback?
Yes, I'm 77 years old. I've been retired now for more than 15 years. I'm also an historian, and I read voraciously. I am not influenced very much by what I watch on television at all. I tune it out because I know it's propaganda. The only thing that I am persuaded by, at least I listen to the ideas, is C-SPAN 2 and C-SPAN 3 on the weekend have beautiful book reviews, one of which was our friend I forget his name, but the confession of Mr. Perkins, The Confessions of an Economic Hitman. They do have wonderful reviews, and I have to say that the historical scholarship over the last 15, 20 years is better than ever. But unfortunately, not enough people read it.
Howard, thank you. I would agree with that. I think that we can find some outstanding comments from time to time on C-SPAN, and they're not infusing a particular ideology. They're allowing the person to make their points and challenge them as would be, and that's the way it should be. I thank you for that input. Anyone else like to give their thoughts, please do so. In the interim, here is some historical information. Oh, by the way, today I'm posting two articles that I was just given by my archivist. I've had an archivist, Sharon Pride, for 23 years, and she just showed me the first article I'd ever written on chiropractic back in 1970, I think it was 72, and how the AMA was trying to destroy chiropractic. Interesting because it was, I believe, this whole issue of caveat emptor, which I was the editor-in-chief of, I believe that that exposure of that information, of all the ways that the medicine was trying to destroy chiropractic, led to the person dropping off at my apartment building files that ended up being used in the case against the AMA, and they were found guilty, and their guilt was upheld to the Supreme Court, and they had to change how they viewed chiropractic and had to allow it to be a legitimate healing science, which it is. And as well as 11 other medical organizations were all sued, and they all lost. One settled, all of them lost. So all of American medicine lost. They were all shown to be biased, engaging in the Sherman Antitrust Act, restraint of trade. And think of it this way. There's a clear case of Goliath and David where one single story brings down an entire paradigm to a level where you can then say, chiropractic deserves to be a part of the treatment modalities that Americans see. And that's where it's been since. Well, that article is there. And also, we just found another article, and from 1980. And it's up also. So we're going to get a bunch of my caveat emptor old articles, post them because when I was reading them, it could have been today. So now I wrote an article that was published in 1989, in October 1989, on secret experimentation by the government and its agencies with hospitals and medical groups on unsuspecting American citizens. In my article, I showed how soldiers have been dealt with. I tracked down the son of a man who died of a unique and rare bacteria that had been weaponized. The government later had to admit, when documents were revealed, that it was not an inert bacteria that was put into the air by a ship cruising up and down the area off San Francisco. And people began to get infected by this. One man died. His son sued. He was a lawyer. I interviewed the son and found out more about how many other people were sickened or exposed and died because of this. But then I found out that the government was also in hospitals. They were injecting, or not injecting, they were feeding children radiation on toast to see how long it would take and to what extent their kidneys would be damaged. It was a short-term experiment, but radiation doesn't go out of the body in a short period of time. There were no follow-up tests at all. And then servicemen and women who were exposed. All told, I was able to find 1,900 separate experiments. And the Pentagon has acknowledged that. But they didn't acknowledge all of them, just in one area. So that's only one area. Here is Abby Martin giving, who I'm going to have on for an hour on our Progressive Commentary Hour, giving us a background right after Veterans Day of why we say we support our veterans. No, we don't. I've gone out and spoken over 1,000 veterans. I have done a documentary on their plight, Forgotten and Betrayed, American Veterans. We put them in wars that should never existed. We have them do things no human being should ever have to do in their lifetime. We create traumatic stress in them. More American soldiers are dying by their own hand each day, about 22 to 23 per day that we know of, than have lost their lives in combat. We destroy other people's environments, and then we wonder, why are they angry at us? Well, how would you feel if your land, your city, your state was occupied? You were restricted, you were beaten, you were shot at, members of your family killed for doing nothing? Would you protest? You bet you would. And somehow we think we're so exceptional that the world should accept this without question. So almost everything that we have done to the soldiers has not benefited the soldiers. It has harmed them. But it gets deeper and more specific. Please listen in.
More than 200,000 American soldiers, sailors, airmen, and Marines were forced to partake in a series of open-air nuclear blasts in the Nevada desert, named Operation Desert Rock. The unwitting soldiers that participated were callously called ground grunts, ordered to sit in ditches dangerously close to the explosions with no protective gear. They wore badges to monitor their exposure levels so the government could test what grotesque results arose from their new weapons. In 1957, the U.S. government carried out the most controversial and deadly of all the desert rock tests, Operation Plumbob, a concentrated series of 29 nuclear blasts involving 16,000 soldiers. To illustrate just how the military commanders viewed their soldiers, they also tested hundreds of pigs in the same experiment. During this nuclear dystopia, radioactive fallout poisoned not only soldiers but countless civilians in communities from Utah to Arizona. All the while, the U.S. Atomic Energy Commission assured the population, there is no danger.
The trouble is they lied. There was danger. On an upcoming program, we're going to talk about the Navajo Indians that were exposed, to prisoners that were exposed and given toxins, to in the Second World War, the Korean War, the Vietnam War, the exposure, knowing exposure of experiments to see what it would do to the soldiers, knowing the soldiers. You could destroy their medical records, and we will prove how many medical records they destroyed, including from the anthrax and botulism vaccine. We're going to end our program today by taking one more call. Stuart from Los Angeles. Stuart, you're on the air.
Hi, Gary.
Hi.
This subject that you brought up about the power of the media to influence what we know, think, and believe, this is one of the main areas that is what I have been focusing on. I just noticed myself how I believed in the news. Used to watch the news. I thought that was the truth. That was everything that was happening. Until sometime after the Kennedy assassination, probably in the 70s, a friend of mine pointed out something about it that he questioned. He said, you find out that it's not really Oswald, something like that. And then after that, I'd hear bits and pieces, but then hearing your shows has really turned me around. And I find that I feel like I'm in another dimension from other people, because people I talk to and mention these things, even about health, they don't believe it. They don't want to believe it. I mean, because they watch the news. They watch TV and all that. And so this has brought up a proposition, but an idea. When people talk about taking the money out of politics. I was, and tell me if I'm wrong, tell me if you have a suggestion or some, anyway, the money, I was wondering, well, where does all the money go to? Is it the media, radio, TV? Are there other places where a lot of the money goes to? So, I was thinking instead of taking the money out of politics, which, of course, that's a good idea, but what about taking back the airwaves where people are so influenced? Maybe taking them back and maybe renegotiating or something so that the last maybe 5 or 10 minutes in a show would be devoted to public service or something like that. People I bring this up to, it's like they don't react at all. It's like they don't think that it's a good idea or something. Well, I'd like your opinion on that.
Okay, thank you, Stuart. That was a good issue to raise. All the networks are required to play a certain amount of public broadcast announcements per day. They generally group those overnight. So that doesn't help us. What does help us is you're not going to be able to take over the networks. They're not going to give them back. They have licenses. They paid enormous amounts of money. They're enormously wealthy. Instead of fighting that battle where you'll lose, influence people by bringing them to the Internet. Because the Internet, we can have forums that tell the truth. We can share information, insights that would never be touched upon by any of the mainstream or even alternative media. So the more people who get their information from qualified sources, and they're not in the majority on the Internet, you have to really do your homework, then you're helping that person who says, I only watch television. Okay, how about each day you just go to these, you know, go to Global Research, go to Truthdig, go to Alternet, and go to Progressive Radio Network and see what they're offering. Read their articles, listen to some of their shows, and see if any of it makes a difference for you, if it rings a bell. That's how we can make a difference, and that's where the people are, and more people are getting their information from the Internet. Thank you very much, Stuart, and I want to thank all you for taking your time, which I do not take for granted, to share this hour with me. Look forward to sharing more tomorrow. Have a nice day, everyone.